So my first most embarrassing moment, I slipped and fell in the mud, holding the United States flag, dressed in red, white, and blue. Got up from the mud, and I was covered head to toe in dirt and mud, and so was the United States flag. A sin for any American patriot. People laughing at me. That was pretty damn embarrassing, and it's still my number one worst embarrassing moment in all of professional wrestling. However, I just recently had my second most embarrassing moment, and that was at the Pro Wrestling Revolution show on Saturday. I'm standing in the ring, and MPT slides out, and he's kind of jaw-jacking with the fans, and he's not getting in the ring. So I'm trying to think of what the Mexican word for chicken is. I reach over and grab the microphone from the announcer, very nice lady and very, very professional announcer. I grab the microphone, and I say, I start thinking, like, what is that word? I remember my favorite Mexican restaurant, and now I know it's pronounced El Pollo Loco. Now this is, you know, I shouldn't say my favorite Mexican restaurant because it's not my favorite. My favorite is the mom and pops and so on and so forth. But I, you know, on the road, I look for El Pollo Loco. It's a familiar face, and I know it's pretty authentic. So I know how to say the damn word, but I couldn't remember while I was in the ring for some damn reason. And I'm thinking, like, how is it spelled? And all I could think was P-O-L-L-O. So I start chanting, Polo, Polo, trying to get the people behind me. But they're quiet, man. They aren't making a peep. And I'm looking around the crowd and I'm thinking, damn it, they all look Mexican. But maybe they're not. Maybe they're real illegal aliens, like body snatcher Mexicans or something, that don't habla Espanol. Anyways, I eventually gave up. The match went well. I was happy with the match. After the match, you know, I mean, I think it could have been better, but it was what it was. It was a fourth match. Two white guys, both of them heel, going against each other. Nah. But I get to the back, and there's the promoter, Gabe, standing there. And he's laughing, and everybody's laughing. It seems all the boys in the back were chanting, Marco, Marco, while I was yelling Polo. So the rib was on me. Damn it. Seems I know enough Espanol to really get myself in trouble. Maybe I better never go to Mexico. Now I want to talk about my experience at SPW, Supreme Pro Wrestling in Sacramento, California, at 6200 McMahon Drive. Man, you got to get out there and check out some of the hottest talent in all of California independent wrestling, man. This is a little, it's like one of those best kept secret type things, man. These guys do some of the most innovative stuff I've ever seen. And they have wrestlers coming down from Washington, man, to participate on their shows. It's becoming like a cult following with this crew, man. It's a trip. Anyways, if you're a wrestling fan, you're listening to this show, make it to Supreme Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Revolution here in the California Bay Area, baby. It's great stuff. So I worked for SPW, and my match was against Drake Frost. Now, I'd be the first to admit, man, I underestimated this kid. He's like 280 pounds, but I wrestled Bison Smith, man, and Bison Smith is solid muscle. I gotta tell you, Drake Frost looked a little soft, bro. Not quite as bad as, like, the Pillsbury Doughboy, but somewhere in between that and some other fat dude. So anyways, I did kind of underestimate him. He's a little young, so I thought he'd be kind of a piece of cake. But instead, he gave me a hell of a match. He even bloodied my nose. I think he was a little pissed because I was talking about a letter I received and that I read on Modest Joint just last week. Titus, the future franchise, and his little brother, Cujo Boy, sent me a letter, man. And I read the letter at the SPW show. And the kids were just kind of like begging me, you know, hey, please don't scare our dad, that sort of thing. Can you be our role model? Listen to last week's Modest Joint. You'll know what I'm talking about. You know, before I digress anymore about Big Ugly, I mean, it's a fact that the guy's a coward. He's been hiding from me. I've been back in the Bay Area 9 months, man. And you think that guy's putting me in the ring against him? Nah. He keeps hiding. But I'll tell you, I want to say a few other things about some of the boys at SPW. Bill Behrens, if you're listening to this, brother, Adam Thornstow is a hell of a talent, man. You got to check this guy out. Every bit as good as Shannon Moore. And I'll tell you, the two of them would make a hell of a tag team. They both have the punk rock thing going for them. Now, Adam has a partner that he works with here in the Bay Area. And he's a big dude. He's like 250 or something like that. And he's got a punk rock gimmick, too. But, you know, I don't even know the dude's name. He hardly ever comes up and says hi to me. So he doesn't get a plug on Modest Joint. But Adam Thornstow is a hell of a talent. Rick Luxury, that's a guy you got to check out, man. Rick Luxury is very innovative. In fact, he's the master of innovation as far as I'm concerned in all of California. And I get to wrestle him at NAW February 22nd. I'm excited about that. Locking up with Rick Luxury. It's going to be a hell of a match. Then you got little Virgil running around, man. He's like 122 pounds. But he's zipping and zapping and he's flipping and flopping all over the ring. Mike Rain, Riz, lots of great talent up there in SPW. If you're a wrestling fan, you got to go check it out. Now I want to read, I'm going to go back to talking about Big Ugly Man. I want to read a little something that I just got a letter the other day. This is another letter from yet another family member of Big Ugly's. It's his wife. And I'm not going to mention her name because, you know, she has a regular day job and everything. And I don't want to embarrass her in front of her friends and family and all of that. So I'm not going to mention her name, but it's Big Ugly's wife. I'll just say that. Here's the letter. Dear good looking. Oh, my God. See? Do you see how bad this is going to be already? Dear good looking. Hi, Mike. I met you the other day at SPW and introduced myself as Big Ugly's wife. I told you my name, but you probably don't remember because you were talking to so many beautiful ladies at the same time. Anyway, Mike, I love my husband, even though, let's face it, you are known as the natural one, and he is known as Big Ugly, for obvious reasons. Mike, you are hot. I heard you are selling nude 8x10s. Please let me know how much for 11 of them autographed. She wants 11 of them autographed. I'm giving them away to girlfriends of mine at a bridal shower or bachelorette party. And one is for me. Although, I'll have to hide it from you-know-who, meaning Big Ugly. He would be devastated. Man, I'll tell you what. First of all, no, I don't have nude 8x10s. Are you out of your mind? If I was going to do nude 8x10s, I'd be doing porn. Now, there's an idea. But nude 8x10s indeed. I feel like Maury Povich over here, man. It's like I got his kids writing to me. I got his wife writing to me. I got wrestling fans writing. Mike, why is Big Ugly running? Mike, why won't Big Ugly wrestle you? He seems like a good wrestler. He seems like a tough guy. He looks ugly. I mean, we buy it, Mike. But why won't he get in the ring against someone of your incredible reputation? And you know what? I don't know, folks. I don't know. Mrs. Ugly, if I can call you that. Mrs. Ugly, I am going to make an 8x10 nude just for you. And you can pick it up at the next SPW show. In the back, baby. The locker room. Hell, the ring truck. You know what I'm saying? wink, wink. Next, I want to talk about the movie The Wrestler Man. I saw it this weekend. My favorite scene in the whole flick was when he quit his job at the grocery store. He's working this crappy, dead-end job, man, and then he finally gets fed up with it. And he cuts his finger in the meat grinder, and he puts blood all over the damn place, and he says, fuck this place, and he starts kicking cereal boxes on his way out of the damn store. And he gets back in the ring, and he starts doing his thing again. And that got me fired up, man. And I'll tell you why, because it reminded me of a damn horrible job that I had working for Long's Drugs. Now, I'll tell you, this is my experience with working a crappy job after you quit the wrestling business. I quit Japan for my wife. She was demanding it. My family demanded it. So I quit the wrestling business in Japan, and I came back to the United States, man. I got a job at Long's, and I realized very quickly that it was very similar to wrestling. No benefits, low pay, and no chance for advancement. Now, what I mean by no benefits, I mean, they did offer me benefits after like 6 months or something like that. But the way it worked was, if I wanted my children added on, it was like a $50 copay, and then with my wife, that would be another $50. So altogether, it was like $150 for the three of them to be on my health insurance. Meanwhile, I was making $300 a week, trying to cover a mortgage. Are you kidding me? Long's Drugs, a company that big, man. And they can't take care of their employees. I'm walking around one day after I'm stocking pork and beans every night. Man, I had to stock those damn pork and beans. Hate those fucking Vandy Camps 33-cent special pork and beans at Long's Drugs. So I stock those damn beans, and I'm walking down the aisle, man, and I look up in the mirror. And I see this dude standing there with his Long's uniform on. And I just thought to myself, you know what? This ain't me. This is the only life I got, man. And if I can't live it as me, what the fuck good am I? So I quit that damn dead-end-ass job. And, you know, shit, sometimes you regret things, sometimes you don't, but man, I am glad I don't work at Long's Drugs. I had some tweaker bitch that was about my age that had never done a damn thing and never been out of the damn town of Weaverville, California, population 1,000. And she's telling me how to face the aisles, man. And in case you don't know, that's how you bring all the product forward on the aisle. You know, so as you're walking down the aisle, the aisles look full. Right? And you put it label out so people can see what it is. All right? Now, I just explained that to you on the phone in about 10 seconds. And this tweaker bitch had the gall to explain it to me for a fucking hour. And then come back and check on me in a half an hour to double check my work. As if I don't know what the fuck bringing a box of cereal from the back of the shelf to the front of the shelf means. Boy, I felt like backhanding that stupid bitch. I remember when I was applying for the job, I took a questionnaire thing. And they're asking me all these questions about pot. Do you know anybody that smokes pot? Have you ever smoked pot before? You know, and they're using the technical marijuana term, you know. It wasn't pot. But it says, do you ever know anyone who smokes pot? Are you kidding me? I thought to myself, well, this has got to be a trick question. Certainly everyone has known at least one fucking person who has smoked marijuana in their fucking lives. So I went in and I asked my boss. I said, hey, is this a trick question? Because, of course, I know someone who has smoked marijuana. I went to high school here in the United States. And he says to me, no, Mike. They want you to lie. I'm serious. Tell Long's that you don't know anyone who smokes marijuana. I shook my head. I answered the question, but technically I kind of lied on an application. But I got the job. It was the only question I lied on. Freaked me out, man. Well, it wasn't the only question I lied on. I lied about every question to do with pot, but still, you get my point. So anyways, I related to this character in the movie, man. I've been there. And the other thing that surprised me about Longs that I didn't get was they kept asking about marijuana. You know, marijuana this, marijuana that, marijuana this, marijuana that. And yet, they don't even have marijuana there. But I guess they already know the answer to, have you used Vicodin before? Or have you used Somas before? Or Zoloft? Or some other goddamn fancy drug? They already know the answer to those questions. They don't have to ask if you've used codeine before because they goddamn well know you have. So anyways, go see The Wrestler, man. Great movie. You will love it. Next for you, I've got a little commercial. I hope you like it.
And the winner of this bout in 13 minutes and 22 seconds, the Rambling Rabbi, Festa Klubinski!
You sure were stiff out there. That was a hard match. I thought you were going to kill me.
Well, I'll tell you, if things are going to get even stiffer later tonight, because I see that nasty little arena rat over there, I'm getting with her.
Hold on, partner. Now that gal looks like she's been rode hard and put away wet. You got a condom, don't you?
Oh, goodness. Hey, don't bother me with condoms. You know, condoms are for sissies, you know. I'm the masked maniac, you know. Anyhow, she's my number one fan.
Boy, you're dumber than a coon dog on acid. I'll bet she says that to all the boys. Hey, you wouldn't send your little contractor out without a hard hat, would you? Here, you better take a Durex condom.
Oh, geez, I never used Durex, you said? I never used Durex before.
Well, you're going to love them, ma'am. It's like wearing nothing at all. And with Durex condoms, you won't end up with the funk or a little arena rat rollins running around.
Oh, wow, yes, of course. I will use Durex from now on, as God is my witness, and pledge allegiance.
Durex condoms. It's what all the boys wear. Hey man, that's no shit. I am a user of Durex. Fabulous brand. It's like wearing nothing at all. Hey, I wanted to give a shout-out to a couple of referees, man. First of all, Sparky, the referee in SPW, made a very good call this week against Drake Frost. Because what happened was, this fat tub of shit, he got me in the pendulum swing. And he's swinging, and he's trying to beat me, and I won't give up, man. You know, Mike Modest doesn't quit. That's just the way I am, brother. So he's swinging me around, but the bastard, what he did was he brought a chair in the ring, and he starts swinging me in the pendulum and slapping my head into the chair. So once that starts happening, of course I'm going to give. I said, yeah, let me out of this damn thing. He's running my face. Don't break my pretty face. So he dropped me, thought he won the match. The referee informed him, man, you can't use a foreign object. Fat bastard tried to pick me up, and I small packaged him and pinned his ass. 1, 2, 3. Wrestling always wins, brother. Don't try to get hardcore with Mike Modest. I'll just small package you. I also wanted to give a shout-out to another great referee, Tom Caster. Fabulous ref. Next, my top 10. This is the top 10 reasons that, for me, wrestling is like sex or similar or, you know. Anyways, number 10, it makes you sweat, grunt, and groan. Number 9 reason that wrestling is like sex, if you can't go longer than 2 minutes, you'll never make it to the big time. Number 8 reason that wrestling is like sex, I just want to give ODB, you know, this actually has nothing to do with it. I just wanted to say this on the air. I want to give ODB one power bomb, just one. I mean, can you imagine those legs wrapped around your shoulders? Just one power bomb. So I kind of, sorry about 8. 8 was kind of fucked up. It's just my own personal wish, I guess, really. Should have been my top 10 wishes in professional wrestling. Anyways, number 7 reason that, for me, wrestling is like sex. It's fun to do for free, but it's better when you get paid. Trust me, I know. 6. The basic format of a professional wrestling match and sex are very, very similar. You have the warm-up or foreplay. Then you build it up. You build it. You build it. You build it. And just when the fans think that babyface is going to win, you bring them back down. You repeat it a few times, and then you give them the big finish. Number 5 reason that, for me, wrestling is similar to sex. The clothing. I mean, you wouldn't wear the kind of clothing that you wear in the bedroom or in the ring to church, would you? Spandex, tight-fitting, no shirt, shiny boots, chains, straps. Very sexy stuff. Hell, even boas and baby oil, pumped-up bodies and men and women and valets and perfume. It's very sexy pro wrestling. Number 4 reason that, for me, pro wrestling is like sex. I like watching hot chicks do it more than guys. In fact, I don't know. Kind of stretching it there because I don't like watching guys have sex at all, but I don't know. I'm going to move on to the next one. Number 3, predictable sucks in wrestling and in the bed. Spice it up. Number 2 reason that, for me, wrestling is like sex. A screwed up finish pisses everyone off. And the number 1 reason that, for me, wrestling is like sex. Sometimes you feel dirty for watching it. Well, I've filled your ears with enough Parkatol bullshit for one day, for this week anyways. Email me at michael.modest@gmail.com. Hit me up on myspace.com/michaelmodest. Tune in next time for at the same bat time, same bat channel, for the same bat shit next week. This has been your host, Michael Modest. You've been listening to Modest Joint on Who's Slamming Who. I love pro wrestling more than ever. And yes, as it was, as it is, and as it shall be, wrestling is hardcore. Peace.